Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio.
Well, my website is realhistorychan.com, and I have been writing and publishing articles and books and videos for over 10 years now. And it's been probably about 30 years since I've been started studying this one world government globalist conspiracy theory, so-called conspiracy theory. But it's not a theory. It's very real. And we'll call these gangsters, let's call them globalists. That's the more popular term these days. But the way they operate is to, they conceal the real agenda behind movements and ideas that appeal to people's good nature, okay? Because obviously, they're not going to be able to sell the idea of a one-world totalitarian system where they are the absolute masters and the rest of us are all essentially working slaves, you see. And one of the high-minded ideals that they push or that they hide behind is environmentalism. And it was the very first Earth Day, I think it was 1970 or 71, going way back. They really started pushing it hard back then. And following Earth Day, they started the process of scaring us with a bunch of so-called crises. There was the acid rain crisis, the hole in the ozone layer crisis, the overpopulation crisis. And then in the late 70s, they came out with, they called it the greenhouse effect back then, claiming that all the CO2 that was being emitted from our automobiles and factories was going to warm the planet, melt the ice caps, and flood us all. And that's the one they kind of stuck with. The other ones just sort of fell by the wayside. And for the last about 45 years now, this global warming hoax, then they changed the name from greenhouse effect to global warming. Now they just use climate change. And there's a reason for that, because climate change is sort of like a catch-all. Because they didn't have the data to actually show that the Earth was warming. And then there were some periods where the Earth was getting cooler. So climate change covers everything. It's too hot, climate change. If it's too cold, climate change. If it's very dry, climate change. If it's very wet, climate change. But the object of the scam is to frighten the people of planet Earth, particularly the children. Because they started pounding the kids with this back in the 90s. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Captain Planet cartoon back in the day. But those kids are all grown up now, you see. So they use fear. And not just with this, with some of the other issues. They use fear in order to control us. And that's why the title of my book is Climate Boogeyman. Because it's the boogeyman. We're supposed to be afraid of the boogeyman. Well, what are we going to do to stop this boogeyman? Oh, we'll just raise your taxes. We'll tax carbon. We'll begin to control private enterprise. We'll take away the sovereignty of nations and pass all kinds of regulations through the UN that you have to obey. And it's all for the good of mankind because we're going to save the planet. And that is the trick. And they do this, like I said, with so many other issues. Most recently, we saw this with COVID. You know, we're all supposed to die from this glorified flu. And they locked us down. You know, they shut down businesses. I mean, it was wild what they got away with. But, you know, and we're still feeling the after effects now because in order to keep people afloat during the lockdowns, they printed so much money, and that caused the inflation that we're all seeing at the grocery store. But that's another example. But they do this with everything, whether it's terrorism or some virus or some foreign leader who's going to blow us all up or climate change. It's always fear, 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 and then they present the solution. And that solution is always...
The true agenda? The true agenda?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Which is more government, less sovereignty of the nations and more international structures, more control over businesses, etc. Global totalitarianism. This is a global mafia. And once someone understands that, that's like the decoder right there. Then you begin to see many different issues in a different light. And so that's what the climate boogeyman is all about. And I dedicate this book to not only exposing the fake science of this climate change scam, but I go further than most people do, because I explain what the agenda is. It's not enough to say, well, people are doing it for money or things like that. I mean, you have to define the global mafia, the global cult. And I link it all up in Climate Boogeyman. I destroy the theory, then I show who's pushing it, and I explain the why. And by the way, Climate Boogeyman was banned by Amazon. It was selling very well. All of my books were removed from Amazon, but you can still get them at realhistorychan.com.
What about some of the other, what about Barnes & Noble? I mean, they're not the only one. I mean, was it sold everywhere, or was it just on Amazon?
Well, I would self-publish. Amazon had a service where you could self-publish. They had a subsidiary called CreateSpace. Now it's Kindle, but it's Amazon. And you self-publish, you just submit a PDF and the cover art, and anybody can produce their own very professional-looking book. So it's a beautiful book, 8.5 by 11, with a cover of the boogeyman, on a climate boogeyman holding a polar bear on the cover. Now the thing with Amazon, anyone could publish any book, or they used to be able to before the censorship. But if you were able to sell a bunch of books on your own, okay, which I was able to do because I, with realhistorychan.com, I have, amassed a little following, a nice size following for myself. So whenever I publish a book, I can get a bunch of sales on my own. And then their systems, their algorithms pick up on that. And then they would start marketing it, okay, based on the observing that, hey, we got a winner here. So now you really start to blow up with the sales. And then you climb up to the pages of the Amazon search engine. And that's the way things were years ago. Up until 5 years ago, whether it's Amazon, YouTube, Google, Twitter, Facebook, they all started censoring this kind of thinking, because too many people are waking up to the global one world conspiracy, the New World Order, and that's what it is. But the cat's already out of the bag.
Yeah, you know what? You're not the only one saying anything about it.
Yeah.
It is disturbing. It really is disturbing because... You know, the first thing someone's going to say is why, and we're going to get to why you say that it's happening or why they're doing this. Some other, I know you said that, you know, it's more control and things like that, but really, is there something else more sinister underneath all of it? But let me tell you this. I do remember first hearing about climate change when I was younger, and I think, you know, I remember talking about, they said something about the ozone, you know, layer, there's a hole in the ozone. And I do remember the acid rain type of deal where they were trying to scare people with that. And then Al Gore came out and he did the, what was it, Inconvenient Truth documentary.
Yeah.
And that scared people to death. And then they just ran with it from there. But tell me, what do you think, why they started politicizing it then? You have scientists that can clearly, you know, check this stuff and verify what they're saying, you know, if it's right or wrong. I don't know how they're getting it past every scientist that studies the climate. Are there scientists out there bucking what they're saying? I mean, actually coming out and publicly saying this is a big bunch of
BS. Absolutely. Most notably, the founder of the Weather Channel, who is an atmospheric physicist, meteorologist.
What's his name?
Oh, goodness. I think his last name was Williams. It's in my book. It's in Climate Boogeyman. Now I can't remember his name, but he was the founder of the Weather Channel. There was Professor Richard Lindzen at MIT. A lot of real scientists who do experimental work had come out against this.
I mean, he was on camera saying something.
The news.
He was on camera saying something about it?
Oh, yeah. Well, once in a while, they would break through onto, like, you know, some cable show or something, but they were generally censored. But you can read their works, and I've got a whole section in my book on these scientists who say it was bogus. But of course, one of my main themes is that we don't have to outsource our thinking to these people like they're gods or something, because a lot of this is just based in logic and common sense. If you know fractions, you can figure this out without the help of a scientist.
Yeah, but a lot of people won't believe something unless they hear it coming from someone of a, authority.
Right. I call that the white coat effect. Yeah.
Right.
But there are many scientists, but here's the problem. First of all, they won't let them on. It's just very simple. They're not going to interview them on TV, okay, to give an opposing view, or you're not going to hear about them in the newspapers. And the scientific journals are corrupted, so their research gets censored. Or their articles get censored, okay? Then you have another class of scientists who've been threatened and they're intimidated. There was a woman, she was the head of the climatology department down at Georgia Tech, and she resigned. She said she got disgusted. Her whole field has been politicized with this stuff. And she claims that her students come to her and they're like a little bit troubled. Because there are students who don't believe in this. They ask her, well, what should I do? This is going to affect my career if I don't go along with it. And she didn't know what to say to them. It's really like heartbreaking. So it's like intimidating now. They buy up these globalists, okay, to show you how deep and extensive this mafia is. They buy up the universities, okay, and they can dictate the curriculum. So... and this is what has happened to corrupt the field of, you know, meteorology and climatology. So that's going on. People are afraid to speak out. And then you have ambitious liars who know that if you start promoting this, lo and behold, your papers are going to get published and you could publish books and they're going to get good reviews and you make a lot of money, or you could do studies and you'll get grant money. People like Bill Gates and Mike Bloomberg and the UN and the EU government, ETA, California State EPA, on and on and on. Billions and billions of dollars are being put out on the street in grant money to anyone who wants to study some sort of aspect of climate change. And people who go for that money, I mean, it's like flies on you know what. And they don't have to be told. They understand what they're supposed to conclude from their studies. So there's enormous money out there on the street. And then on the other side of the equation, your livelihood will suffer if you start to go against this. And I've got this all documented in my book. And it's really wild how they built this thing up. But it's almost 50 years now. Okay? The first climate change... paper came out in 1979. Okay, so we're going on 45 years. And prior to that, we were supposed to have an ice age. So then they switched it around and they came up with the greenhouse effect. So, but yes, there are indeed scientists who are publicly saying that this is absolute nonsense, but they're either censored or they're fearful in most cases.
I get that. I get it. Your book is great, yeah. By the way. I love the way you put it together. It doesn't read like a typical book. You have a lot of pictures in there, a lot of articles in there, and it's just really great. And I just really love it. It keeps your attention, like you want to keep on reading it. One thing I do want to ask you, what is the Paris Climate Agreement? What is that?
Okay, well, that was a very dangerous agreement that they... nations of the world, after so many years of these conferences and so much pressure, they finally signed on to it in 2014 or 15. And that would this had teeth to it. It was like a legally binding treaty that would have given our politicians the ability to say, well, we got to meet this guideline. You know, we have to follow the treaty, like it or not. And it would have limited CO2 emissions. Oh, so scary. But it would have diminished our quality of life substantially, which is what they want. They want us driving around all on public transportation, living in tiny high rises and eating bugs. Okay. This is their vision of the new world order. You get three hots in a cot and be happy. But the elite will live large. Okay. But that's the goal of the Paris Climate Accords. It would have put, it would have given the governments just enormous power to just do anything they want and, whatever, ban cars or decide that only certain people should drive. You know, we have to meet these CO2 targets. We got to do whatever we got to do, whatever taxes we have to implement or impose. If we have to tax carbon, and it was really, really dangerous and totalitarian, because it had the force of a treaty. All of the prior conferences, they would meet and they would say, okay, we're going to work towards these goals. But this was an actual treaty, which any U.S. president could hold up and say, well, don't blame me. I have to abide by the treaty. We got to do this, this, and that.
Is it still in place?
Well, Donald Trump got in there, and this was a very high priority. He pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords, okay? And some other countries followed suit. And that's basically the end, because if you don't have the U.S. in something international, then you really don't, you know, you can't keep the thing together. And that was huge, what he saved us from. Now, when Biden got in there, he reversed the executive order and put us back in. But what's very interesting, and even some of these green Marxists, I call them, are complaining about it, to say, well, it doesn't have teeth anymore, you know, because you have to act on it. So it's like Trump did some serious damage to the whole effort and the whole movement. So technically, we're in it, but nothing's coming of it. It was not the plan. The plan was Obama got us in there, and then Hillary would go in and start going for the targets. So thankfully, that has not happened. Although some individual governors are implementing some crazy stuff on their own.
Yeah, like California's governor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're going to do it on their own. But once Trump returns, he's going to kill it for good.
Let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned, you know, the vehicles, you know, they're trying to tell us what vehicles we can drive and what products we can use and things like that, because they leave a carbon footprint. But you said carbon isn't bad like they say it is.
No, it's actually good. I mean, there's a big difference between carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide. Carbon monoxide is if you go in a garage and you run your car, people kill themselves that way, okay? That's carbon monoxide. It's poison. This is carbon dioxide, which is plant food. This is what makes plant grow. It's their form of oxygen. The plants take in the CO2, and then they give us the oxygen, okay? We learned this in, what, sixth grade? So CO2 is, it's harmless trace gas necessary for life on this earth. To call CO2 a pollutant is like calling water vapor or oxygen a pollutant. It's absurd. But, you know, that's a scary-sounding name. Carbon dioxide sounds like carbon monoxide. Two totally different elements. And apart from that, man-made or man-caused CO2 is so minuscule as compared to what nature puts out. It's not even 1%. I mean, termites emit more CO2 than man. You got volcano and geothermal activity. So man's total output of CO2 is minuscule. And on top of that, believe it or not, there's never been any actual experiment to show that CO2 can retain water. It's not a good conductor. Gases are generally not good conductors. You know, your conductors are things like aluminum and silver, you know. So it's just bizarre when you start to get into it. and you realize that 99.999% of the atmosphere is made up of oxygen, nitrogen, there's some water vapor, there's some minor chemicals. By the time you get to CO2, you're talking of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. In essence, it is not even part of the atmosphere. So how can it heat up the atmosphere? It's just the trace gas that's in the atmosphere. But it's not fraction-wise. It's not even... I mean, it's just absurd to think that even if you did heat it up, that you could impact the climate this way. And you know, the numbers bear this out. The Earth is not warming. That's been confirmed by state-of-the-art RSS remote sensing data. There's been no warming, but they rigged those numbers just before the Paris Climate Conference. So they don't even have a slight warming that they can point to. And if you did, that still doesn't mean anything, because there are so many different variable factors which will cause the planet to heat up a little bit or cool off a little bit over the course of decades and centuries and even millennium. I mean, New York City was under a mile of ice thousands of years ago. You know, the Empire State Building would have been covered in ice, just to give you an idea. So these things happen. It has to do with solar cycles. And I get into this in the book and I explain it very simple. There's changes in ocean currents, wind patterns, cosmic radiation. And then there's what's going on deep inside the Earth, which affects the thermal heat coming up through the floor. So many different variable factors that can impact temperature by a half a degree or a degree or two. Or sometimes you get like a mini ice age. In the 1800s, they were ice skating on the Thames River in London, which is really freaky because, you know, London has kind of a gentle climate, but that, you know, they had an ice age. And at another period, they were so warm that they were growing crops in Greenland, okay? Which Greenland right now is pretty much all ice, except along the coastlines. But there's actually settlements that are under ice. Now they find like tools from the Vikings and stuff. So that means that hundreds of years ago, it warmed up enough that people could like settle there and farm there. And those are the more extreme cases. And then there's the smaller cases of temperature variation. So if you wait long enough, you're going to have a little bit of warming. You wait long enough, you have a little bit of cooling. Totally natural. Nothing to do with CO2 at all. The science is a joke. But it's
But they're saying, Mike, that even in small quantities, CO2 has enough of a effect as far as like trapping, heat trapping effects to make make the planet warm.
Yeah, well, it's interesting when people pointed out that CO2 is such a tiny, tiny proportion of the atmosphere. They had to come up with something, and they said, "Well, yeah, but it still traps heat." Well, there really is no evidence of that. But again, if you just use basic logic, how can 0.000 something dictate to 99.9% that you're going to heat up? It just doesn't make sense at all. When I was a kid, we had a pool in the backyard when I was a kid. I remember when my father used to take off the cover, usually around Memorial Day. But you couldn't go swimming because it was still cold. The water was still cold. It was a large, good-sized pool. So in the hopes of warming it up, I mean, I'm a kid, like 8, 9 years old. I go in the house, I run some warm water out of the tap in a pot, and I would go back and forth putting this warm water in, trying to affect it. I remember my dad laughing. He says, "You know how many thousands of gallons in there?" I could be forgiven for that. But that's what they're selling. They're trying to tell us that 0.0000 of the atmosphere, if it's going to hold up a little heat and it's going to warm up the rest catastrophically and melt the ice caps in Antarctica, and then all our coasts are going to be flooded. It is just so farcical and fantastic on its face, you know? But it just goes to show that, if you have the right people selling it, wearing white lab coats, and you've got the media repeating it, and especially if you get to the kids, you can pretty much sell anything. And it's interesting, when they first came out with this, it's not like people were jumping aboard. It took a while. It wasn't until you know, the late 80s, early 90s. So this is after 10 years of propaganda that they began to say, oh, the science is settled. And let me tell you, whenever you hear, whenever they start talking about settled science, you know, right there, that's a red flag. Because if something is truly proven scientifically, you don't have to brag about it. You can just show it. But instead, they have to beat us over the head with it. And they call you a climate denier if you dare to disagree.
You know what? You just brought up a really good point, though. You talked about carbon monoxide and then carbon dioxide. Do you think they're relying on methods of confusion and convoluting the facts more and more and more, so the average person is just so confused about everything, they can't discern what's truth and what's not truth? But if they, you know, the average American, you know, associates carbon monoxide with what we know could kill you, you know, with carbon dioxide, they automatically going to say, oh yeah, that's bad, even though you're talking about carbon dioxide. Do you think they're relying on methods of confusion to push the agenda?
Oh yeah, that's they always complicate something that's very simple. And the whole basis of my writing, this is like my whole purpose in all my books, and all, if you go to realhistorycan.com, whatever topic I tackle, I kind of like decode it and I present it in such a way that anybody can come up to speed on it and say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Because, like you said, that's what they do, whether it's economics or whether it's climatology or whether it's history, okay? These topics that people don't know a whole lot about, and when they hear these so-called experts spouting nonsense, they don't know what to make of it, so they kind of get intimidated, and they just go along with it. But once you break down the nonsense and dig into it, you begin to see the game, and that is the game, just what you said. You complicate something with terminology and jargon and facts and figures, and then people's minds just get blown, and they just say, well, he sounds smart. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, and he's from Harvard, and he wears a white lab coat, so yeah, I guess there's something to this. And so it's definitely a psychological mind job, the way they, you know, they play this, you know? And people need to be aware of this stuff, because and have a lot more faith in our abilities. We're all a lot smarter than we think we are. It's just that people have gotten out of the habit of actually thinking. And it's just like, if you don't go to the gym or if you don't exercise, your muscles are going to go flabby and atrophy. So if you don't think and analyze stuff, you start to lose that ability after a while. And but we all have it in us, and I'm telling you. And you said you read this book, Climate Boogie Dad. Even though I get into, I got a whole section called The Fake Science of Global Warming Climate Change. Anybody can get it. It doesn't require any scientific background. I'm not a scientist. I don't have much scientific background, but I know how to get to the essence of things and show, okay, here's the trick. Here's the trick. Here's the scam right here. Sort of like My Cousin Vinny. I don't know if you ever seen the film.
Yeah, I've seen it. Let me. Let me do this. Let me ask you something about. You know, my son loves animals. He just loves them. But it really, it's concerning. We both do, and so we watch a lot of things concerning animals. But you know, we see like disturbing things happening in the world about like fish. Thousands of fish coming up dead for some reason. They'll blame it on global warming or something crazy. Has there really been any type of effect on sea life? And if it's not natural, what's causing it and who's causing it?
Well, it's certainly not CO2, because that's just a natural element. And the oceans are the number one emitters of CO2. You know, there's so much, there's volcanic activity on the floor and so on. You know, but like you said, don't blame anything on the so-called climate change. Ironically, if there's something going on, it could be from this green energy. Like, we take the windmills, and we know that these windmill companies, they have exemptions. They get to kill bald eagles, okay? They kill them by thousands. If you or I touch a bald eagle egg, we go to jail. They kill lots and lots of birds. And now in New Jersey...
You mean because they fly through the...
They fly through and the blades are spinning. Yeah. They don't see them. And they a lot of eagles out in those territories. And all kinds of birds and bats. And it's just horrific what's going on with the windmills. Now, in the ocean itself, here in off the coast of New Jersey, they're finding these whales are dying. And now there's a lot of speculation that something with the windmills, the sound is driving them crazy or something. So we don't know, but ironically, this green energy, in terms of its effect on wildlife, is a heck of a lot worse than traditional energy. I mean, the only time oil hurts an animal is when you have a tanker spill, you know, and then they show us the images to break our heart. But we don't see all the bald eagles being killed by this phony green energy.
What about the melting ice in Antarctica? They say the polar bears don't have a place to rest, and so they drown.
Yeah, that's been debunked too. What they do is they show us these scary images of a polar bear swimming in the middle of nowhere. And you're like, oh my God, he's stranded in the middle of the ocean. Do you know a polar bear can swim hundreds of miles in one shot? I mean, a polar bear can swim from like New York to Pittsburgh in one shot. Because they've got so much blubber, they're very buoyant. So they're built to swim long distances, but they don't tell you that. So they'll take an image from a helicopter, from polar bear, and he's out. There's no land around anywhere, and you think he's dying, but he's not. There's people who monitor polar bear populations. This is all published. They're thriving, okay? And the ice is not melting. Another trick they do is they'll show you images of pieces of ice breaking off the perimeter of Antarctica, scare the heck out of people. That's actually a natural process that goes on year-round. It's called calving, ice calving. They call it calving because it's like a cow pushing out a calf when she gives birth. Think of Antarctica, all that icy, as like a giant slow-motion conveyor belt pushing from the interior to the edges. So once that ice goes too far off the shore, it starts to break up, and that's an iceberg. Totally natural process, but they manipulate. They like to show us this ice crashing off the edge of the ice shelf, and people think that the Antarctic is managed. It's not. So new ice is forming on the interior, and as it pushes up to the shoreline, it breaks off. It's an endless cycle.
What about glaciers? They say they are shrinking.
I cover that in the book as well. And this is undeniable. And a lot of the sources even come from mainstream sources. Like, yeah, there are glaciers that are shrinking. Okay. What they don't tell you is that there are other glaciers that are expanding in different parts of the world. And this is also an endless cycle. And what causes the great glaciers generally they melt from the bottom up based on variations in geothermal heat. Okay, so it's the Earth itself that causes glaciers to melt and retreat, and then in other areas the glaciers expand. But they don't tell you about the ones that are expanding. They just want you to focus on glaciers that are shrinking, so they can say it's melting. Okay, so I mean everything they do has got a trick to it, and I cover all of this in a book, and I back all my stuff up with irrefutable facts and even their own headlines sometimes. So that's the deal with the glaciers. Some of them are expanding and some of them are contracting. And that's been going on since the beginning.
I like how you put in here about Prince Charles, I guess that ran through the paper and you got it, where he said there was only 100 months to save the planet.
Yeah, that was like 250 months ago.
Yeah.
There's so many of these. And I dig up the headlines too. These predictions, they put out these predictions, scares the heck out of people. And then when the time arrives and it hasn't happened, people forget. So then they just make another set of predictions. It just never ends. And like I said, this is 45 years of predictions. And the trick is, they always put doomsday. They can't put it too close because then it won't be believable. And then when it comes, it looked like they were, didn't know what they were talking about. But they can't put it out like 100 years either, because then people won't worry about it. So it's always that 10 to 15 year sweet spot that they scare us with. Okay, because that's perfect. Because after 10, 15 years passes, nothing happens. Nobody remembers. And then now it's just like football. They move the chains. There's another 10 years. So that's the trick. But yeah, Prince Charles said we had 100 months, and then it's over. And then worldwide catastrophe. And that was about 200 months ago.
So you're saying that, you know, they talk about the ice sheets and things that are melting, and they're saying that if those melt down, supposedly the ocean's levels will rise up. I heard a guy say that's totally untrue. What information do you have on that? And would it even, I mean, if all the, if the North Pole, say if the, all of it melted,
yeah,
would it rise? Would the sea level actually rise?
Well, the ice cover on Antarctica is a mile to a mile and a half thick in some places. It's very thick. And Antarctica is massive. It's the size of the United States and Mexico combined, the land part of it. So if you've got 2 miles thick ice on top of something that large, it would absolutely flood the coast. It would raise the sea levels. But do you know what it would take to even begin to melt that? And here's just like little details they leave out. Like now we all know that ice begins to melt at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, okay? The average temperature in the Antarctic interior is like minus 40, okay? You're telling me we're going to warm up Antarctica by 72 degrees? I mean, on a warm day, it's minus 30 in the interior. So you're not even close to getting
that's
to,
a good point. Yeah.
To the 32 degrees that you need just to begin the process. So it's nonsense. So now, they claim temperatures, global temperatures have gone up a half degree in the last 80 years. Well, that's not even true. But let's say it is. It's like, okay, half degree down, we got another 70 degrees to go to start the melting. So, I mean, to achieve that level of melting, to flood the coastlines, it's just laughable. I mean, it really is laughable from a child's standpoint. And yet, you know, they somehow package this as science. And it goes back to what I'm saying. People can, they're a lot smarter than they think they are. They just think about this a little bit and don't be intimidated by these bought and paid for scientists who work for the New World Order.
This is really interesting in your book. I love the old newspaper articles you have in here. And this one caught my eye here. It's the Arctic Ocean getting warm and the seals vanish and icebergs melt. And you have this under the warming of Antarctica back in 1922.
Yeah. Oh, I do this with all my works in my book. Whenever I can, I like to hang the media's words. I like to hang them with their own words. Yeah, so there are headlines, all the headlines dating back to 1922 was a particularly warm year, and we've had these. You get, you know, every 20 or 30 years, you'll get a year that's kind of freaky, where the whole Arctic Ocean opens up and you can sail through it, okay? And this was big news back in 1922. People are like, wait, what's going on, you know? But then, you know, a year later, the top of the Arctic Ocean, or most of it, starts to freeze again. And this can vary. It can vary from month to month, year to year. So some years, and this is all tracked by satellite, you can see the ice cover expand, and other years it contracts. Expand, contract. As far as Antarctica goes, it's amazing. The early explorers of Antarctica were going back 100, 120 years, like Admiral Byrd and Cook and those guys. And they drew, they had some mad skills back then. They actually, just by like, you know, observation and measurement and instruments, they drew maps of the Antarctic perimeter and the ice shelf. And when you match them up to today's satellites, they're almost exactly the same. So it shows how good they were with making maps, even though they didn't have satellite technology. But it shows like barely any variation at all in 120 years. And you can look up an old book in the library and then look up the satellite images of today. And you'll see that this Arctic ice shelf, I'm not talking about the land, I'm talking about the shelf, which is the ice that extends from the land a little bit. You know, some years expands a little, some years contracts a little in different areas, but still basically the same if people bothered to research this.
Let me ask you something. Okay, I understand that there are, you know, years where something abnormal happens there where the ice, you said the ice will completely open up or whatever. But do you know what's causing it to happen?
Variation?
It's nothing yeah. that human beings are doing, right?
No. These variations are known. In fact, I mean, you study climatology, just basic climatology, you have these fixed factors which affect weather. Fixed factors such as latitude or altitude. If you're high in the mountains, it's going to be colder. You know, if you're on low level, it's going to be warmer. How far you are from the ocean. So those are things that never change that's going to affect the weather where you live. Obviously, if you live in Florida, it's always going to be warmer than here in New Jersey. Okay? Then there are variable factors that affect weather year to year. Nobody ever talks about them anymore. It's always whatever freaky thing happens or whatever change happens, it's CO2. No, it's not CO2. We know for a fact that solar cycles have a slight impact on the weather. Changes in wind patterns, changes in ocean currents, changes in cosmic radiation, changes in geothermal radiation. All these things vary slightly from year to year, decade to decade, or even century to century. So it is perfectly normal for the climate to change. I mean, climate change is actually what climate, it's the very definition of climate. It changes slightly. And then sometimes you have these major events like ice ages and stuff, but it's 100% natural, and we know, and we could study and even predict sometimes all of these variable factors that could change the weather somewhat. But all that is ignored these days. It's all CO2. But once you understand how significant these variable factors can be, there's nothing to be alarmed at if we have a few years of, warmer weather than usual or colder weather than usual. It's perfectly normal.
This is another point of confusion that I know that people have. You talk about global climate change is causing all this global warming, but then they say, okay, like in your book here is on page 67, you talk about Earth is doomed to live through another ice age. This was from March the 3rd, 1975. And, ice age is mentioned in 19, let's see here. You got it all the way up to it's several times. It's mentioned in 1975 all over the place, but people don't understand that. Okay. Why are you talking about global warming and an ice age? I mean, explain the difference or explain exactly what that is, if you don't mind.
Well, it was wild. I mean, they were pushing their, I remember in the 70s hearing about it. And they did there were like TV documentaries about it. Ice age was pretty big back in the day. And then you even have some scientists speculating that it has to do with pollution and so on. Because the 70s, I don't know about worldwide, but definitely in North America, there was some colder than normal winters going on in North America in the 70s. And then it just stopped, and things just kind of went back to what they were in terms of the temperature. So they switched on a dime to greenhouse effect, global warming. And it's just wild. And I illustrate this in the book. Literally within the course of a year or two, they went from ice age to greenhouse effect, global warming, without skipping a beat. And they stayed with it ever since. Now, and during these last 45 years, again, the temperature data from the satellites doesn't bear that out. And then we've had some cold spells as well. So they changed greenhouse effect to global warming. And now they changed global warming to climate change. Because climate change covers everything. Because they say now, if you get exceptionally cold temps, well, that could be due to global warming too. So, I mean, whatever happens, they blame it on the CO2. If the weather is too warm, CO2. Too cold, CO2. Too wet, CO2. Too dry, CO2. Too many hurricanes, CO2. Too few hurricanes, CO2. And if everything seems kind of normal, they say, well, don't confuse weather with climate. The trend is still this or that. They've got an explanation for everything, and it's almost comical. And I point these out in the book. You know, there's a couple chapters in there which are really comedy more than anything else about how they change and just go back and forth. So that's the deal.
That's this is crazy. Yeah, you talk about how they cherry pick the data to tell us about. You make let me see here. I'm reading through your book here. Tell me, let's talk about who's doing it. That's what we need to talk about.
Well, yeah.
Who's doing it? Because you mentioned Bill Gates. He's been in the news before about all this COVID stuff. Really, people were saying, stay in your lane. You know, you can't even get your computers right. They were really livid at him
right.
to the point where I know he had to turn off his Instagram. He turned off his Instagram where you couldn't actually make comments on there because everybody seemed like everybody in the world, all over the world,
yeah.
were really mad that he was pushing this COVID vaccine agenda. So why would he be interested? Why would he be interested in climate change?
Total control, totalitarian. They're just megalomaniacs. Too much time, too much money on their hands. I don't know. But this is what they work for. It's a global mafia. Okay? You know, it's interesting. The author of the Godfather books, upon which the movies were made, Mario Puzo, he said once, if you want to understand how the world works, read the Godfather. He's talking about the world. And that's exactly what it is. Only difference is it's a million times bigger than just the crime families. It's control of everything. And that's the politics of it. They push this. It gives them more power to tax, and more power to control business and our lives, and especially to diminish the sovereignty of the individual nations, because they don't want any nation on earth, including the United States, to ever be able to buck this worldwide system. See, there's a quote in section 5 of my book where I get into the politics of it. It's Obama in Berlin speaking. He was a candidate at the time. He says, tonight, I speak before you not as a candidate for U.S. president, but as a proud citizen of the United States and a fellow citizen of the world. This is the moment we stand as one. So this is kind of the code lingo. When they talk about citizen of the world, they mean the abolition of all nations and all cultures. Just one giant mismatch of obedient workers worldwide serving them. And they're at the top of the feeding chain, at the top of the pyramid structure. Same thing with COVID. They're using this phony COVID crisis to grab this power, lock us down, mess with us psychologically. I mean, COVID and the climate change, they're so similar. And it's the same people. There's Bill Gates. He's heavily involved in both. The United Nations, heavily involved in both. George Soros, Mike Bloomberg. I give you the names. It's all in the book. They want a one-world totalitarian state. And they use crises in order to scare us into letting them do the crazy stuff that they do to us.
What about other countries?
Well, it's worldwide. They've got their hooks into every country. Thankfully, what's going on now is a whole other topic. A lot of countries are beginning the process of breaking free of this mafia. Okay?
Why do you say that, and how do you know that?
You can always tell someone who's rebelling against this global mafia by the way the fake news portrays. And generally speaking, if it's one of their boys, one of their agents, that individual will be puffed up, okay? They'll make a rock star out of them. On the other hand, if they say this guy's a devil, he's bad, that means you got somebody who's not getting with the program, okay? And I'll give you some names that, you know, a lot of people hear these names, they're like, oh, he's a bad guy, what are you saying? But no, Vladimir Putin, President Assad of Syria, et cetera. You know, anytime a guy gets bad press, it means he's moving against them. And what's going on now, and again, this is a big topic, maybe we could talk about it another show, Trump, and there's people in military intelligence behind them, people like Putin, people in different countries are rebelling against this thing. And thankfully, this globalist mafia is getting weaker. There is hope. There's like a whole secret war that's going on. But the problem exists in every nation on earth. They've got their agents and their operatives. Some of the countries, they have total control. Other countries could be 50%. Other countries, they don't have hardly any control. It's like, it varies. So it's kind of like the age-old struggle between good and evil, and it's happening in every country. So, but they do have their operatives in every nation.
Another thing that caught my eye, and is the last thing I want to ask you about, is the smart meters that they're pushing, supposedly to help the public.
Yeah, now that's total control, isn't it? You know, because ultimately they want to be able to measure the so-called carbon footprint, not only of every business, but every family and individual. Say, oh, you're using too much, we're cutting you off. It's just total control. It's just like the COVID lockdowns and social distancing. They just left them. They're really sick people. They really get off on the idea of controlling people to this extent. And that's the deal with your smart meters. It's all, you know, you see a pattern. After a while, you begin to detect the pattern. It's always the same pattern. We want more of your money. We want you to have less freedom, less living standards. And that's the ultimate goal. Everybody, you will get to your three hats and a cot. Don't expect anything more from life. Okay. Just be happy with that. We, the elites, will have the rest. And they want to depopulate us, too. There's too many of us, in their view. So, you know, that's the whole underlying theme. You understand, once you understand, it's sort of like the magic decoder ring. Once you understand the global mafia, everything else starts to make sense. The wars, the COVID lockdowns, you know, the crazy taxes and the inflation, this climate change nonsense, on and on. Almost everything that they throw at us, you look deeper, and it's just that same core agenda. More power and money for them, and nothing for us.
This has really been an interesting conversation, and I have enjoyed it, and I appreciate your time. Mike, I want you to take a moment to tell my listeners where they can find out more information about you or anything else you may be working on.
Sure. Well, definitely you want to bookmark realhistorychan.com. realhistorychan.com. Most of my work there is free. There's an update section. You can see tons and tons of articles. There's a banned book section. I've had authored 25 books which were banned by Amazon, but you can still order them through the site. And they're also available in PDF or book form. But at the very least, people should get, it's a free report, and it gets on my mailing list. Okay? It's in the footer of every page. Is the report is called How to Respond to an Anti-Conspiracy Theorist. That's for these people who say, oh, I don't believe in conspiracy. But it's just a rebuttal to all of their ridiculous objections, because big conspiracies are real, because mafias are real. Okay? So you sign up for that free report, you get it instantly, and get you on my mailing list. But all my work is unique in a sense that I have an objective. Anytime I write a book or an article, I want to present it in such a way that the reader, no matter what their level of knowledge is or their level of education, so-called, or their age, they can get up to speed quick, because I present it in a simple way, because that's what the truth does. Truth is simple. Lies complicate. Okay? So I think it's a very unique website. If people enjoyed my talk, they're going to love my website. realhistorychan.com.
Got you. Very good. I really appreciate your time. Again, the book is called Climate Boogeyman, The Criminal Insanity of the Global Warming Climate Change Hoax. And his website is realhistorychan.com. And I will have it in the show notes. Mike King, my special guest. Mike, many blessings to you. And I really appreciate your time.
Oh, I appreciate it. It was a pleasure. And boy, that hour went quick. We'll do it again someday, I hope.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.